This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham. I see what Mike in South Philly's talking about a little more now. Like, I'm just scrolling through Twitter and I see people saying, what do y'all think of this? Like, it's just like y'all guys, like, you don't need to refer to the people who are following you as a group. You know people are following you. Like, you don't need to refer to them as y'all or guys. That's one of the things that bothers me. My
folks.
That was loud. One of the my social media complaint from earlier, though, was people who publicize their birthday. Adults that go out of the way, go out of their own way to you know, accentuate that it's their birthday. Okay, you know, if you're not a kid, why do you, like, I heard of somebody doing a drive-by birthday for an adult. Like, isn't that for kids? I would not want, the last thing that I would want is a drive-by birthday going on right now. Like, I don't need people driving by my house honking the horn for me. Like, oh, you know, happy 33rd, honk honk honk. Like, I don't need all that.
33 honks.
I think the drive-by birthdays are they're I'm done with the drive-by birthdays, honestly. Like, I understand it at first. I don't think it's necessary, but if the kid likes it, if a kid thinks it's a nice thing. Like, my niece, we did a drive-by birthday for my niece, and she really enjoyed it. Like, okay, for a kid, it's fine, but for an adult, like, why are you having drive-by birthdays? I just don't like it.
Have you gone to one for an adult?
No. Right. But it was actually, I remember where it was. It was on my block. Somebody did a drive-by birthday. So, what, you know, we don't need the birthday celebrations for adults. If you want to have a couple people over when this is all finished and we can gather again, have a few beers, fine. But don't go on social media, say it's my birthday and my wife or my husband, or, you know, look at what they did for my birthday, like Mike talked about earlier. Like, we don't need that.
I don't expect flowers for it.
Exactly. Keep it to yourself. But some people just love that attention. That's what it all comes down to. Just love that attention. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking about the greatest athletes of all time, if you want to give me yours. I made a comparison earlier in the show that's gained some traction here. That Steve Kerr and Eli Manning are very comparable. Because I don't think either of them are great players, per se. But you can't go through the history of their leagues without mentioning them multiple times. Eli winning two Super Bowls and really being a passenger if we're looking at it fairly.
The guy played every game for 15 years. Like, that's what you start with, I think.
And he was perfectly average. Perfectly average quarterback.
Not perfectly average.
He ended with a .500 record. That's about as average as it gets.
His team had an average performance through the span of his career, but, you know, I don't think he was an average quarterback.
I think he was. I was never afraid of Eli Manning. I was never afraid of him. I never thought he was.
It's because, you know, you didn't root for New England.
So do you think Nick Foles is a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No.
Well, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Can Nick
too.
Foles play 15 straight games before, you know, we start comparing him to a guy that played every game for 15 years?
Well, I mean, it's easy when you don't take a hit, because whenever there any pressure gets on you, you curl up in the fetal position. You know, that's easy not to get hurt that way.
Isn't that a, that's, you know, that's a trait you want in a quarterback, a guy who gets rid of the ball before it's too late.
If Carson Wentz played like that, we would freak out.
People freak out about Carson Wentz even if he plays well.
Right, but I just don't think he's that good. Like, I think he's like a Steve Kerr. He's a mediocre player, Passenger, and Steve Kerr, the same thing. When you look at the history of the league, you got to mention him multiple times. That's all I'm saying.
How many times has Steve Kerr changed teams?
A few. And how many rings does he have? Now I'm sounding like Wilbon. But how many rings does he have?
Sound like Jolly.
Steve Kerr actually does have a lot of rings, right?
He's five as a player, yeah.
Five as a player? He won two with the Spurs?
Doesn't he come back?
I don't know. I don't know.
He wasn't good enough. He had to switch teams. He went to, like, Portland or something like that.
And then he's won, three more as a coach?
Yes.
Better than Eli?
Didn't win anything with Phoenix.
Okay.
As an exec, but.
But whatever. Steve Kerr and Eli Manning, very comparable
one
in
the
my
same.
Mind. Yes, exactly. One and the same. We've been discussing that and also the match and what they did. I think there are going to be things you're going to have to look at with sports without fans. You're going to have to enhance these broadcasts. Why not do what the match did? Have these guys mic'd up. Have them going back and forth with the broadcasters. We saw baseball do it in spring training. Do it in the regular season. You have nothing else now, you know, other than the game. I'd like to have Bryce Harper mic'd up in right field. How about Bryce Harper out in right field shooting the bleep with T-Mac and Murph and the boys?
I don't know if he can comment on all their food drops. He's not going to be able to taste the food with
and
them.
And what's going to be going on? What's going to be going on? They're going to have to figure out what they're going to have to do with Murph's check-ins.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be rendered useless.
He's just going to be in an empty stadium. Yeah. It's going to be very awkward. They're going to have to figure that out. How about just Murph out in Ashburn Alley, just like enjoying some Bulls barbecue by himself?
Because for some reason, he never reports like injuries and like actual like news.
Well, actually, what you can do is you can have Murph interviewing a player in the stand since they won't be in the dugout. And you have a mic that you can get a mic extender on there. Like, you hook the mic onto a selfie stick. And then you can have Murph interviewing, Wheeler, Nola, whoever's not pitching that day. Interview the boys out in the crowd.
You said about 60 seconds ago, we can now interview the players because all we have now is the game. What did we have the previous 130 years?
Well, without like fan reaction and stuff, they're going to have to find other ways to enhance the broadcast. That's all. You wouldn't like Harper out in right field, you know, being interviewed and you know, talking during the game?
No, I would like that. I don't think you'd say anything.
Well, you might. Interview the guys at the plate while they're in the box like they did with Rizzo in spring training.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can get, if Bryce Harper strikes out against Blake Snell, we can hear about how much of a beast he is.
Yeah, how much of a beast Blake Snell is. So we'll see. Maybe that'll be something they'll figure out with the collective bargaining. And NBA playoff games, mic those guys up. Mic them up, have a little delay, and if somebody curses, just mute it for a couple seconds. But let us hear the trash talk. How about, you know, you have JVG going back and forth with a player on the floor during the game. I'd take that.
When would that ever happen?
Well, now you can because there's no crowd noise to interfere. So you can just have a guy mic'd up, a little earpiece.
We're not going to have color commentators heckling players?
Not heckling them, but, you know, they can hear the broadcast and give advice, trash talk with the broadcasters like Barkley and Brady. That was great stuff.
Yeah, it's golf.
You can do it in other sports, too. Baseball, you
sure, because you're standing around just as much in
baseball
and in the NBA.
There's a lot of standing around in baseball. Maybe basketball, but it'd be a little tougher. But still, mic up the players. I'd still think that's a good idea. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Stephen Egg Harbor. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good. I was listening to you and Adrian, and I hate agreeing with Adrian about Eli Manning, but I look at Eli Manning as something I really wasn't that afraid of either. But once that guy got in the playoffs, I mean, let's look at the facts. The man beat two number one seeds on the way to going to the Super Bowl, on the way to go into two Super Bowls and beating the greatest quarterback of all time. And the one thing I can say about Eli Manning is if you look at the track record between him and his brother, there is no denying that the better playoff quarterback was Eli Manning by far.
In 2011, I'll say this, Steve. 2011, he had a really good month. He was great in that playoffs. 2007, he was nothing special. I mean, he wasn't. Come on. There's no comparison.
Do you remember who he beat then? He beat Dallas, and Dallas is the number one seed.
Yeah, no, year. It was a good... 2007? Yeah, I mean, that was a decent game and a decent run, but their defense was the strength of that team, clearly.
I think the defense was the strength of their team both times, but the fact of the matter is, when the man got to the playoffs, he performed. I mean, that game against San Francisco still sticks out in my mind, and I realize that, you know, their guy fumbled twice, the punt returner. But there's a lot of games like that. I mean, you guys talk about the Eagles and Atlanta game all the time, about how we were lucky that one play Nick Foles threw that interception, or the ball that went up the guy's whatever it did and bounced 20 yards back and Torrey Smith caught it.
Right.
But what they forget to say is that every point that Atlanta scored in that game was off of a muffed punt, and number two, the field goal they got was off of a fumble by Ajayi when we were driving to score. They didn't score an offensive point in that game. We gave them everything they had. So we weren't lucky to win that game. Everybody wants to point to one play all the time. Just like in the New Orleans game, they always say, oh, Alshon Jeffrey dropped the ball, that's why we didn't win the game. No, that was the finality of the game. The fact of the matter is, the play that cost us the game was Brandon Graham not falling on a fumble.
I do agree with that, Steve.
Trifecta.
I totally agree with that. That was the play that changed that game. If he just falls on that and the Eagles kick a field goal there and maybe they score a touchdown, I think that game...
It's over.
If they score a touchdown there, I do think that game's over 24.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Even if they score a field goal, it's still three scores.
Right.
It's pretty much over. I mean, you got to give it... We had all the momentum in that game until that play.
No, you're right about that. Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously not an Eli guy.
I don't think he's a special player. When it came down to Moneyball, the man was money.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2011, I will agree. 2007, I look at that Packer NFC Championship game. They won that game because Brett Favre threw a bad pick late. Like, you look at the Super Bowl that year, he got extremely lucky on a throw down field where he probably should have been ruled down, whatever. That, you know, he got out of it. He made a play downfield. Good for him. But I didn't think that year he was the reason that they won. I just didn't.
But you also create your own breaks, too. I mean, let's face the facts. Asante Samuel picks that ball off instead of dropping it, which was right in his hands. They lose the game, too. But let's talk about, if you really want to talk about that, look at Tom Brady. I mean, he's won a couple lucky Super Bowls. Let's face the facts. The Seattle game, they run the ball. That game, they don't win that game. The Atlanta game, they're down 25 points. If that idiot runs the ball instead of pass, because they were trying to destroy New England instead of trying to win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady has two less Super Bowls, and that's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Seattle was trying to destroy them in that game.
Atlanta was trying to destroy them.
That was dumb play calling, and Shanahan obviously has admitted that since. I think it's evened out with Brady. I'm sorry, Steve. I'm never gonna let the Eli thing go. Maybe it is.
I agree. One other thing I wanted to talk about the basketball because I heard you talking about that too. I'm obviously a lot older than you. Let's go into the birthday things you were talking about. I'm 57. I agree with you 100% about announcing the birthdays because, you know, the life expectancy of a male average is like 78.6 years. So once you're over 40, you're on the downside of your life. I'll never celebrate another year closer to my demise, that's for sure. And basketball. The thing about basketball is back in the day, you had the Knicks who had Walt Clyde Frazier, Earl Monroe, Dave DeBuscher, Willis Reed, that team. You had the L.A. Lakers with Wilt. You had the Golden State Warriors with Rick Barry. Those were all great teams back in the day. Today, you have a lot of watered-down teams in the NBA, and that's why I disagree with what you guys were saying. The great teams back then were going against great players every night. You don't know about Walt Bellamy, Cassie Russell.
Steve,
you weren't alive then.
No, but I'm telling you.
Believe me, those were great teams, all of them. Even Chicago, Bob Love, Chet Walker, who won the championship with us in 67.
I'll tell you what, Steve, the talent now is a lot better than you're giving it credit for.
I'm not saying the talent, but there's a lot of teams that have a couple talented players, and then the rest are pedestrian. Back then, you had four or five great players on every team because there was only like 12, 14 teams.
But you look at a team now, like a team like the Houston Rockets with you know, James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
Overrated.
They're damn good. Like, you think James Harden wouldn't dominate that 40 years?
Overrated.
They gag in the playoffs.
They're not money players, buddy. They're not money players. To me, that's what a great player is, a money player. They're not money players.
I got you, Steve. I appreciate it, man. Thanks. I appreciate the call. I know, and this actually goes nicely into what I want to get into here, is when people just go rings. You know, this guy has this many rings, therefore he is the better player. So we'll start with the Wilbon thing, if we can, please. Because Michael Wilbon is just endlessly annoying. And by the way, Mike, you'll like this. You know how he's tired of us wasting his time. He was on TV on Monday talking about how great the match was. So he was okay with us wasting his time on Sunday afternoon. Yeah, don't waste my time with trying to get sports back when serious things are happening in the world. But he's going to enjoy watching a golf match. He enjoyed it. Just like I'm sure that fraud Russo enjoyed it too.
He actually admitted he was wrong.
Oh, good, good. And he's going to have to admit he's wrong now too on the baseball player rant that he went
on.
Go
to hell.
Yeah, we'll get that in before we get out of here. But no, I appreciate Steve's call, but I do think some guys could get, like, it's hard to compare errors. Like, comparing teams now to teams in the 60s and 70s in basketball, you can't. Like, it's a different sport. Anything before the Jordan era, and that's why Jordan is looked at the way he is as so transformational, because he changed the game. Like, he represented an entire era changing. Like, any team from the 80s, you can't compare to teams now. Like, you just can't. It's a different game. Three-pointers have just changed the sport. I don't know why it took so long for teams to realize that there's one shot that's worth, you know, 50% more than another shot. Maybe we should try to take more of those shots and get better at making them. Like, I don't understand why that took so long, honestly. I don't get why, you know, some of those great teams in the 80s didn't just move back a few feet and try to shoot some threes. That never made sense to me. But, I don't agree that the league's, like, watered down now. And I think the league now is way better in a lot of ways. And it's way harder to win now because of how much talent there is. But it always comes down with a lot of people to rings, and that's the argument. And Wilbon made one of the dumbest arguments the other day. Here's Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon on PTI discussing the greatness of LeBron James versus the greatness of not Michael Jordan, but Scottie Pippen.
Oh, I think they could have been great together. LeBron would pass the ball to Jordan. Jordan would take the shot. LeBron fashions himself a facilitator, and Jordan has always fashioned himself a hero. I mean, what impressed me in this, in what I read about this, was a quote where LeBron said that he paid specific attention to what Scottie Pippen was able to do with Jordan, and then he said in this direct quote, it would have been a whole other level with him playing along with Jordan. So it's pretty much saying to Scottie, hey, it's been nice. There's a cab waiting for you. Get in and see you around.
I'm tired of everybody taking shots at Scottie Pippen, because last I checked, he's got twice as many rings as LeBron.
It's just me. I'm the only one
twice.
Who does.
No, apparently not, because you quoted LeBron. And LeBron, you know, if that was a shot, I would just say one guy has twice as many rings as the other guy. Many rings as the other guy.
Whoa, I don't know what happened. That was poor editing by Mike. I'm sorry. No, that was actually poor editing by me. I was the one who messed that up. But, I mean, is that not the dumbest argument you could possibly make? And I hate that. I hate when it comes down to the rings. Like, Wilbon obviously doesn't like LeBron because he's a Chicago guy. And when anybody brings up LeBron versus Michael, that, like, deeply offends Michael Wilbon. So he comes back with, yeah, they would have been better with LeBron and Michael than Michael and Scottie. It doesn't mean Scottie Pippen's a bad player. Scottie Pippen's a top 50 player of all time. He's not LeBron James. And just because that's like the dumbest argument ever, that Scottie Pippen's got twice as many rings, so he's better than LeBron, or he's a better compliment to Michael than LeBron. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's such a typical Wilbon argument. Do you agree with that, Mike? That's not surprising at all that Wilbon would go that route.
Yeah, that's just his Bulls fandom. Maybe. I don't know. Does he hate LeBron? Like, I don't remember him being, like, a serial LeBron hater.
I think anybody that loves Jordan, and I like Jordan too, but anybody that loves Jordan gets so incensed about the comparison between LeBron and Jordan. It is a legitimate comparison. Like, I know LeBron only has three rings, but And this goes to my point of how much better the league is now than he gets credit for. Look at what had to be built to beat LeBron. Like, a 73-win Warriors team, which may have been the best team of all time at that point, they had to go out and add the second-best player in basketball because they couldn't beat him in the finals the year before, the way they were constituted. Like, look at what you have to do to beat this guy. LeBron went to 8 straight finals. Jordan, the toll of going deep into the playoffs, and I get it was a more physical game. I get it's physically demanding. He had to take time away to kind of recharge. LeBron plays deep into June every single year, and it doesn't matter. Like, he never gets hurt. He got hurt last year, but honestly, there was no need to rush back. That team wasn't winning anything. But 8 straight finals from 2011 to 2018, just obviously the most dominant player in the game. Like, I don't get why people get so offended by comparisons between Jordan and LeBron. It's not an absurd comparison. And LeBron is the second best player of all time, undisputedly. Like, I don't even think it's an argument. And really, if you think the Jordan people are annoying, the Kobe people are even more annoying when they say Kobe's better than LeBron. I love Kobe. Kobe was not LeBron. Not close. So, that's my opinion on LeBron James. I think somehow, after all this, I think he's underrated. I don't know how that can be. Why we do this with players that I guess when we're watching them, we don't give them the credit they deserve. But LeBron is remarkable.
He's not underrated.
I don't know. I think some people would
if anybody
puts Kobe over LeBron, he's underrated.
Yeah, but it's like one out of every like 30 people that do it.
Somebody at the station does.
Yeah, and the other 29 don't.
Yeah, but Ike does. But I don't know. I think I think he is underrated in a way. We'll get to that next segment. And this is an analyst. And we have a real next segment. I want to play a couple pieces of sound that are extremely conflicting. First, from an entitled coach's son, who it's the only reason he even has a job in the league, honestly. And another bitter ex-player. But the sound really contradicts itself. So we'll play that when we get back. 215-592-9494. Stay tuned. Not, for that, if you want to hear it, because I think it's a pretty funny segment. But segment after that is the Gabe Kapler check-in. Mike has been hard at work. Maybe he's doing the KMBR thing today.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. It was Memorial Day. So, yeah. I know a lot of people take off. Not all the people who are, hard workers, but some of the folks like Mike, need a day to recharge. But that's fine. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's what holidays are for.
Yeah, that's what holidays are for. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. Show's flying by tonight, I feel like. Feel like it's been a fast show. Maybe for me, maybe not for Mike. But a lot of stuff we've gotten into tonight, talking about some of the greatest athletes of all time with the match this week and Last Dance, and now the Lance Armstrong documentary. So we've been discussing a lot of that stuff throughout the course of the night. And now, over the last couple segments, getting into some of this MJ and LeBron conversation, which I've always thought this is a much closer debate than people make it out to be. I feel like a lot of people don't like LeBron. I don't really get it. I mean, I think he can be annoying sometimes, but he's an amazing player. I mean, he is, and doing what he's done is pretty incredible. But according to one player in the NBA, we're not entitled to our opinions on any of this stuff because we didn't play the game. And this is one of the things that always bothers me, because do I claim to be the end-all, be-all expert on teams and players. No, I have my opinion, and I'm welcome to have my opinion. Anybody is welcome to have their opinion on sports. It's sports. It's ranking players. It's ranking teams. It's not that serious. And that's why when I say Eli Manning and Steve Kerr are equals, I am allowed to say that. Eli Manning and Steve Kerr, I think, are very similar in regards to their impact on their sports. And I think, you know, they are very comparable for their careers and the impacts that they have had. But according to Austin Rivers, who, let's face it, Austin Rivers, he has only had the career he's had in the NBA because of who his father is. I think that's pretty clear. I mean, he's a fine player, but he's been on a lot of teams basically because daddy was the coach. He's not he's not on his dad's team anymore because finally, you know, they had to trade him. They actually got a better player. He was involved in what? The Chris Paul trade, I think? Is that right?
I thought they cut him.
They cut him? Well, that'd be even better. Where's he play? He's with the Rockets, right?
Yeah, he wasn't. Because didn't he, he went to, the Wizards at one point.
Right, well, it wouldn't have been the Chris Paul trade because Chris Paul went to OKC. Yeah, I forget. Exactly. I thought he got traded, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure. But, you know, he was on Doc Rivers' team with the Clippers for years. But he was outraged last week at a top 25 or top 50 list. And he was outraged that Dwayne Wade wasn't higher, which, honestly, I hear this and I think Dwayne Wade maybe should have been ranked, maybe even lower than he was ranked. But
top five guards ever?
No, it was top 50 players, I think. Top 50 players. And you'll hear the cut in a second here. But what Austin Rivers says about, you know, you'll hear it, but Austin Rivers basically saying that if you didn't play the game, you don't have a right to an opinion.
No, I told someone the other day, if you are a current player in the NBA, I'll have this discussion with you. All right. If you coach in the NBA, I'll have this discussion with you. If you did not play in the NBA or coach the NBA, I don't care what your opinion is about the all-time greatest. I really don't care. If you've studied the game of basketball, whatever the case may be, you've never played, you don't know what it's like playing or working on your craft at that level or competing against those guys. This list was clearly made by guys who didn't make their JV basketball team. You have Dwayne Wade, 26 of all time. But you have, and again, Kawhi Leonard, I'm sorry. Yeah, 26. Kawhi Leonard's a great player. Unbelievable player. I love Kawhi Leonard. He's one of my favorite players in today's game. You can put him easily top five. He's 25.
Yeah, Dwayne a top three shooting guard of all time.
The disrespect is just like, and then Giannis is 27. He's right. There's no way. Again, yeah. Giannis is on that way. Giannis is on that way. He's an unbelievable player. But there's no way Dwayne Wade should be slotted one slot in front of Giannis. He's just done too much. Giannis hasn't yet. I'm sure he will. And this list will change 5 years from now. But Dwayne Wade should be somewhere around the top 10. That's just my opinion. Yeah. Maybe not the top 10, but either in the top 10 or around there. Top 15, something like that. You know, you could even make the argument with your brother and KD. It's hard to compare eras, you know what I mean? But if you put KD in the 80s or 70s, he would average 90. I think everybody has a right to have an opinion. And I think everybody's opinion should be valued to a certain extent, including these so-called experts at ESPN. But I think with that being said, these experts are the same guys who probably, you know, didn't make their JV basketball team. And these are guys who didn't play in the NBA. I do think players should make this list. I think ex-players should make this list. I would love to hear from whatever former NBA player. I wish that they did a panel together and made this list. That's the type of experts I would like to listen to.
Now, I should clarify there. He's talking on a Zoom to Seth Curry, which you hear mentioned in there, your brother. That's him talking to Seth Curry about his brother Steph Curry, obviously. But it's interesting that Austin Rivers says that he says, you know, I don't want to hear from, and I love how he says everybody's got a right to their opinion, but you don't have the right to your opinion. You don't have the right to rank players. Only players who played in the league can do that. Well, I would argue the players who played in the league are the most biased players. And they are the ones that probably don't look at it as objectively as most people do. And it's interesting that Austin Rivers says that. Now, honestly, hearing his points, I don't really disagree with a lot of his points. Dwayne Wade maybe should be a little higher than 26th. I think that's about right, but a little higher, whatever. I agree Giannis maybe not shouldn't be that high yet, but so be it. But it's funny that Austin Rivers says that only players should rank the list, only guys who have won championships, all whatever he's saying. And they're the guys he wants to hear from. Because we have a piece of sound now from a guy who played in the NBA and was an MVP, I believe, once. Well, maybe not. Probably wasn't an MVP. That was, Mike's giving me the head shake on that, and Mike's probably right on that. But a guy who had a good career in the NBA and was a champion. But would you agree, Mike, before we play this clip, that whether you played or not, any reputable list would have LeBron James in the top five of all time? Would you agree with that?
Top three, yeah.
Top three, yeah. I agree, and I think number two.
Yeah.
Austin Rivers says he only wants to hear from former players. Well, we'll let you hear from a former player here. Here's former Celtic Paul Pierce, who does not like LeBron James because LeBron James basically ended his team's run, ended his career essentially.
The closest he ever came in winning an MVP was he got seventh place one year.
Oh, my God. I am having a rough night. I am having a rough, rough evening. Paul Pierce has a bias against LeBron James. And here's Paul Pierce on ESPN with Jay Williams and Jalen Rose giving his top five list of players.
Bill Russell built up the organization in Boston. Should get way more credit than we give him. And a lot of times he gets left out of the conversation. So in saying that, Kareem, look at the names that I said. Kareem, Magic, Jordan, Tim Duncan, Kobe, Bird. These guys are all top 10 players who would either help build up their organization or continue the tradition.
And Paul, the one thing that has ever
from LeBron, he went and put together a team in Miami.
I think there's
he came back to Cleveland to put that team together. And then he went to the Lakers where a tradition has already been made. And we don't know, you know, that's still to be continued. So in saying that, that's my argument.
So that was basically after he said LeBron's not top five. And the best is if you watch the video of this, the whole time Pierce is talking at the beginning, Jay Williams just has his head in his hands. Just like so flabbergasted that Paul Pierce would not put LeBron in his top five. It's ridiculous.
I don't understand. His thing with Russell is he built the tradition of the Celtics. Okay, so then, LeBron didn't do that in Cleveland?
Right. It's like, he just doesn't like LeBron. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And here's more of this. Jay Williams comes back here and asks Paul Pierce to explain a little more why LeBron would not be in his top five.
Organization, it goes both ways, man. It ain't just like one player is the only thing that makes it happen. LeBron James wasn't surrounded by other great players. He had to go to a first-class organization in Miami to actually figure out what the standard of excellence was with Pat Riley and D. Wade and Mickey Arison. Come on, man.
So who are you blaming this on? Who are you blaming this on? What's your point?
I'm not blaming it on anything. I'm saying you don't need to make an organization great in order to be one of the greatest of all time. I don't have an obligation.
I didn't say he wasn't the greatest of all time. I did not say
he wasn't. You just said he's not top five on your rank. That's the way.
You want to hear my top five? You want to hear it again?
Sure.
You want to hear it again? Jordan.
Sure, let me know.
Kareem. Russell. And you know who the fourth one is? Magic.
Who's the fifth?
Now you know who's in my top five?
I'm not going to say nothing right now.
Kobe Bryant.
Come on. Oh.
That's my top five. Argue with it.
A lot of people will argue with it.
It's like the opposite of don't at me.
I left a long pause in there because it's like you can tell he's thinking about who, you know, who the fourth one is. I think he's honestly trying to figure out who can I put above him. But you know, the irony of it is he trashes LeBron for going to Miami. What did Paul Pierce win before they brought Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett to Boston?
Yeah.
What did he ever win?
Yeah, but he doesn't look at it like that. He looks at it as, I stayed here and won a championship. He doesn't look at it as, I got help.
Okay, well, what is that? Well, does that mean Kevin Garnett? You're slighting him? I'm sure Kevin Garnett wouldn't like to hear that from Paul Pierce.
Probably not.
But I just find it funny that Austin Rivers first, you know, I only want to hear from players. Yeah, players a lot of times have the worst opinions, okay? Like, they do. Players, they have their own biases.
Jared Dudley thought Ben Simmons was average.
Yeah, Jared Dudley said, Ben Simmons, we don't have to worry about him. And Ben Simmons came out the next game and, like, scored, what, like 34 points in game three without Embiid?
Yeah.
And just dominated that game? It's like, the players are biased. They are the worst guys to listen to. So, Austin Rivers can shut up, go, you know... It must be nice to have a dad who's an NBA coach and carry on his roster for years and make your career. Must be nice. Paul Pierce and his Boston biases can go away. I'm tired of these guys.
Boston biases.
But just as we would say on this show, Mike, move on. Let's just move on. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, when we get back, it is time. You've been waiting for it all night, the Gabe Kapler check-in. And I'm interested to hear what this one's about. We'll ask Mike and get a little more information after the break. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham. Now, last week was Once and For All week, and Friday was Gabe Kapler Day. Did Gabe Kapler get a fair shake in Philadelphia? I think that's a complicated question, as I talked about last week. Do I think Gabe was the biggest problem the Phillies had? Absolutely not. I don't think, certainly not last year, Gabe was the biggest problem. I didn't have a problem with a lot of the things he did tactically. I did think he was a little too... You know, he tried beating that positivity drum too much. Like, at some point, he's never going to be a guy that goes flips over tables and punches water coolers. Like,
he's not Dallas effing Green.
Right. Yeah, that was one of Gabe's best comments. By the way, I went back and listened to Gabe's two of his most memorable appearances with Angelo. They were great times. Great times. The best was... When we did that interview at Borgata, and it was right after the Segura thing, why are you scapegoating Gene Segura like this? It's so unfair. And I was just sitting next to Angelo. I could not stop laughing. It was just tremendous. But that was one of my favorite memories ever. And I did think Gabe could have gotten a little more. Authoritarian, like, not even authoritarian, but just trying to motivate the team in a different way. Like, he kept saying, we're going to go on a run, when it's clear to everybody they weren't going to go on a run. Like, they just weren't a very good team.
My favorite Gabe moment was when they're arguing about if Scott Kingery should have, like, been kept on the roster. And, like, in the hypothetical, like, Angelo takes him off the roster, but then throws him back in to fit the hypothetical later, and Gabe calls him out on it. He's like, wait, you just took Kingery off the roster. Why is he coming in the game?
Yeah.
It was all about, like, it was funny, like J.P. Crawford versus Crawford or Kingery.
Right. But, you know, I don't think Gabe was necessarily the biggest problem, but I do think he got a fair shake. Like, I'm not going to beat the drum like Gillio and say, you know, what a horrible injustice that he was fired. It, you know, you have the chance to go get Joe Girardi, you do it. I don't know why it took 2 weeks to decide to fire him. That was odd. But
yeah, if you lose your job, like, they did it in a unclear way. Like, if he lost his job because he's not as good as Joe Girardi, that is fair.
Right. But it was just like the weirdest 2 weeks where we're sitting in limbo and Gabe doesn't know if he's got a job or not. And
he's working out.
Yeah. He's going to the facility. Just awkward. But so be it. That argument was put to rest last week. That doesn't mean, though, we're done with Gabe. Don't fear. Our Gabe check-ins will continue. for the entirety of forever. If during a pandemic we can still get new Gabe sound every week, we're not going to struggle with it once the season starts. What do we got today, Mike? This was a part of a Zoom call, I believe.
Yeah. So let's go back to his KMBR appearance last week.
Okay.
For cut one here, just to kind of get a sense of like how much Gabe's thinking about baseball. They ask him, you know, is he taking it easy during the quarantine? Less thoughts, or is he just going all in? And here's what Gabe had to say.
Are you, for the most part, thinking about baseball and just running through crazy scenarios, or do you allow your brain just, you know, time to relax?
No, so what a great question, because it really speaks to the fact that I have fun and work overlap. If you said, like, hey, I just want you to relax, but you can't think about baseball for the next, like, 3 or 4 hours, I'd be like, I'm not going to relax. Like, I don't – I can't do that. That's stressful, right? Because those scenarios, they naturally pop into your mind. And then – so you're having to, like, force that stuff out. The answer right. to your question is, of course, like it's all I'm thinking about. It's all our staff is thinking about, and we're constantly communicating about the best way to deploy 6 or 7 starters. By way of example, like how are we going to create a camp that supports our opening day roster if and when we get to that opening day? So there's so much to think through that there are not enough hours in the day to get to everything. We almost don't have a choice but to think nonstop about competition. And I'm actually kind of glad, because it's kept all of us very engaged through this time of quarantine.
Gabe says there's not enough time in the day to, you know, think about what he's going to do. He's spending his time playing video games. What's he talking about? Like, and I know he looks at that as prep work, but let's face it, that's playing MLB The Show is not prep work. By the way, Mike, have you ever heard of a game, MLB The Show? I like when he asks, you know, I've been playing this game, MLB The Show. like it's not a popular game. But what is he talking? He has not a lot of work to do. What can he do?
Well, I don't know, a ton of work. He's a constant communicator. It takes a lot of work to constantly be communicating.
Yeah, I guess especially when you're not around the guys. I'm telling you, I think these players probably just are driven nuts by him. He's probably got these Zoom calls. Gabe probably has a Zoom happy hour for the Giants players every week, or the coaching staff. I could see that. But okay, so that was the background for this stuff we got this week. So what do we have next, Mike?
All right, so Gabe has his game one today, his first game. I guess we would say as a manager in California.
What manager of what?
Yeah. So he and Dave Roberts are going head to head. It's the battle of North California versus Southern California, in terms of where baseball players, some of the greats, have hailed from.
Okay.
So Gabe has at his disposal. So what they're doing is, after these rosters get put together, fans voted the top three of each position, and then the managers, both Gabe and Dave Roberts, they picked their lineup from each of the choices. His Jimmy Rollins on his bench, he chose Troy Tulowitzki over him for his shortstop. He's got a pretty good lineup, but yeah, I guess I should say the lineup just for some.
Gabe's the North squad, right?
Yeah, and on the Zoom call, I think I showed you he was wearing a Giants hat, but he taped a piece of paper to the hat that said NOR.
Oh my God!
I guess he ran out of room for TH,
right?
Because he's the North,
right? But thank you.
Yeah, but yeah, his lineup is Ricky Henderson, Barry Bonds, Frank Robinson, Willie Stargell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe Morgan, Ken Caminiti, Troy Tulowitzki, Ernie Lombardi, and taking the hill will be Randy Johnson. It's a pretty good lineup.
That's for Roberts.
That's for Gabe.
Oh, that's for Gabe.
Yeah, those are the North guys.
Sorry.
Yeah, so they asked Gabe if he dove into the numbers to put the lineup together, or just kind of what his approach was.
Gabe, how deep did you dive into the numbers?
No, I'm glad you asked the question. It's a fun one to talk about, because my inclination is to dive pretty deeply. But for this exercise, I took a surface level dig and then just got really invested in the fun of it. You know, the Hall of Famers that we're talking about, the players that Dave and I played against that are on this list, it was just a lot of fun, and I really wanted to enjoy it. I mean, I think the platoon split thing is fun, but at the same time, this exercise is built for enjoyment, fun, fans having fun and thinking along with us. And then ultimately, like, there were so many good decisions that it was hard to make a bad one.
He's talking like they're actually going to play a game.
Oh, wait till this next one.
It's just like putting together a bat. Okay, it's a bunch of great players. You just put them in a batting order. Like, he's using analytics to put Frank Robinson ahead of Troy Tulowitzki. Like, I don't think you need analytics here.
Yeah. So I guess they're going to play these games out on, it's called Out of the Park Baseball. I guess it's a
knockoff, I think.
It's a simulator. Yeah, I've heard people talk about it. I've never seen it before. Game one starts Tuesday night at Seal Stadium. That's where, the San Francisco Seals used to play.
Okay.
There's going to be 7 ballparks where this takes place.
So, these are actual physical games? Like,
no.
I'm very confused.
For some reason, they have a stadium schedule. Like,
okay.
Game two will go to Candlestick Park.
Okay, but they're just simulation. Okay, this is weird.
They asked Gabe what has been the most fun aspect of it. And here's what he said.
I think the most fun I had was going back and digging into Ricky's best year. He had a knack for getting on base, obviously. I had so much fun writing his name at the top of the lineup because of all the things that he can do independent of him getting on base, and the freedom and the flexibility that he might give Bruce as he managed our club. But I had a lot of fun thinking about that outfield. I guess the biggest question was, who to have in the outfield, right? Was it going to be Bonds or Bonds at the DH position? Did a lot of work and asked a lot of questions about the defensive capabilities of each guy, and came away feeling pretty good about our outfield as a defensive unit. And obviously the top four hitters in the lineup, five hitters in the lineup are pretty impressive.
So he's not even the manager of the – so Bruce Bochy's the actual manager.
No, it's Bruce Jenkins, a writer from the San Francisco Chronicle. I guess they teamed up with the LA Times because it's a couple of writers from each.
Because I figured he meant Bruce Bochy. Yeah. Logical guess. But the flexibility that Ricky Henderson would give Bruce, like, this is not – why does he have to overcomplicate everything? What? This is why people don't like him.
Who's he talking to about – the scouting report on Joe DiMaggio playing center field?
I don't know. I don't know.
He said he talked to people about, you know, how they, you know, putting the defense together, you know, because Barry Bonds was the extra outfielder. Somebody had a DH.
And you know what's going to happen? They're going to end up losing because Gabe makes a bunch of managerial mistakes because he's overanalyzing it. I mean, Roberts is a big analytical guy, too. I don't think Roberts is going through this as much as Gabe.
Yeah, I got the sense from the Zoom.
Roberts is kind of like,
it was a 30-minute Zoom press conference. Roberts is just kind of taking it easy.
Yeah, he's out on it. So do we have any more from Gabe here?
No, but game one's tonight, you know, like I said. So maybe we'll get something from it. We'll follow it, you know, and we wish Gabe the best of luck.
Wish him the best of luck. Hopefully his moves work out better in this simulator than they do in real life.
He has his first three pitchers will be Randy Johnson game one, Tom Seaver game two, and CC Sabathia game three.
Okay, not bad. Do you know who Roberts has on the bump in these games?
I don't recall.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll pass him along next day. I know this is very important to people, so we'll pass this along. And I'm guessing Gabe goes on with the KNBR Jokers today now, so we'll see what that awkward interview's like. It's just always very uncomfortable, those interviews, but we enjoy them here. 215-592-9494.
All uncomfortable.
215-592-9494. If you want to get in the last segment of the show, when we get back, I'll give you – we haven't talked about where the different sports are at this point. We'll give you a brief little overview of the baseball, basketball, hockey, where everything stands right now. And we were playing the Russo rant on the golf for a while, which Mike says he has apologized for and said he was wrong about. But we will give you his latest rant on the MLB players. We'll do that next segment. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham. Probably took us too long to do this, but we're going to start podcasting the show on the Trash Talk with TK podcast feed. So you'll be able to check that out where you get all the 94 WIP podcasts. So if you miss a Gabe check-in, you'll be able to go back and listen to it, because I know everybody wants to get their fill of Gabe. So if you want to get in the final segment, 215-592-9494. I want to give you a quick little overview as we head into another critical week here on where the future of sports for the immediate future sits right now. Didn't do a lot of that tonight. I'm sure we'll do a lot more tomorrow, as Tuesday after the weekend figures to be a potentially eventful day with Major League Baseball, especially. They are going to be submitting their latest proposal. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, basketball, where it's looking right now with the NBA. The NBA's in talks with Disney World to host them come July. It appears that's going to happen. There's a potential that they could do the Eastern Conference at Disney, the Western Conference in Vegas. I don't think that's the way it's going to play out. I think everybody's going to end up in Disney World. They're still working out how the postseason is going to work, whether they're going to jump right to the playoffs, maybe finish the regular season, because the clause with a lot of these teams, the local TV networks, they got to play at least 70 regular season games. Most teams are around 63 right now. You know, they want to get that, fulfill that contract so they can get that full revenue, but at the same time, bring back a bunch of teams that don't have anything to play for doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, and doesn't seem to be something the teams really want either.
Yeah, Wendy said last night that he thinks it's most likely they go ahead, but with not all 30 teams participating.
Right. That's what I think as well. And I've heard these ideas thrown out where you eliminate, I think Simmons said this on his podcast this past week, is you eliminate the bottom three teams in each conference, and you bring back 12 teams per conference, and you have like a little tournament for the 7 and 8 seeds. Like best of threes for the 7 and 8 seeds. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, you have some really good players that could, like,
especially in the West. The West tournament for that would be pretty fun.
Right, and give, like, I don't know, it'd be cool if Brad Beal can, like, carry the Wizards to the 8 seed. Like, when otherwise, who, and then, you know, eventually they just lose, but.
But, like, why not? People have been starved for sports for so long. Mm-hmm. Why not have these games? People will watch them. Like, I'll watch a Wizards Orlando Magic, you know, game three.
Fultz and Beal trading blows.
Yeah, I'll be all in on it. I will. I think it would be fun. So I think that's where that's probably going to end up. And they'll have to negotiate something with the local TV markets where, you know, I don't know how you do that if it's in the contract, but I think they'll figure something out to get around it.
This is amazing. How are the New York Knicks not one of the three worst teams in the East?
I know. Yeah,
like they would play.
That's the best part. It's going to be interesting. But I think a play-in for the 7 and 8 seeds, and at the same time, you can't have all the other teams sitting around. So while you're doing that, maybe have a couple regular season games for the teams in the West and the East, so they still count in the standings. So maybe there could be jockeying and seeding. That could be big for the Sixers because they're currently a 6 seed. They'd like to get in the 4-5 matchup, I'd assume, so you wouldn't have to play Boston. The best scenario for the Sixers, somehow they play a few games, they get into the 4-5 against Indiana, and the Heat drop back to 6. That way you're playing Indiana in the first round. So that's a possibility, but that's where it stands with the NBA right now. Hockey, it looks like the NHL is looking at a 24-team playoff tournament, which would be interesting for the Flyers, because the Flyers are right on the edge. They would not be in the first round of that tournament as the 4 seed, so they'd get a bye through that first, that first preliminary round and play the winner of the 5-12 matchup. I think it would be Pittsburgh and Montreal. But again, they'd have to do something there where the Flyers would have to get some games in, because they can't just be sitting around waiting for the winner of a playoff series. I actually think that would work to their disadvantage if they weren't playing and waiting for a team to get some games in and then have to play them in the postseason. So you'd have to find a way to get those matchups in. The one thing with the NHL that I read that's a really dumb idea that I heard is they're thinking about doing two different lotteries. They're thinking about doing a lottery to determine the final standings, then to then do the draft lottery.
What?
Yeah, I saw that they were thinking about doing a lottery to determine the final odds for the actual lottery.
And this accomplishes what? This solves what?
I don't know. I don't know why you just wouldn't take the standings where they are. Right. I could be wrong on that. I'll ask Al. But I think that would be pretty cool to do a 24-team tournament. That way, you give some of these other teams an opportunity, and it would really be the same concept as the NBA with the play-in for the 7 and 8 seeds, is you basically just eliminate the bottom 6 teams. And all the real dregs of the league, you just get out, you tell them not to come back, don't worry about it, and you move on. That's what it's looking like with the NHL. Major League Baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.